This is Bob Fetrakis with The Other Side of the News, brought to you by thefreepress.org. WCRS Community Radio 98.3 and 102.1. Hi, this is Dr. Bob Fetrakis bringing you The Other Side of the News and good information on alternative news in the city. I'm here in the studio with Michael Allwood, and you may remember him from WVKO. And when we had Progressive Talk in the City Now, hopefully we're going to have Progressive Alternative News Weekly, bringing you information every single week. Michael, the new managing editor of The Free Press, the weekly alternative. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much, Bob, and it's good to be on the radio with you once again. We've done this a few times.
2008, 2012.
Yeah, and a little bit in 2013 when I short-lived a broadcast of Fight Back with Dr. Bob. It was a pleasure to co-host that program with you. It was a pleasure to produce your program at WVKO, and all our local people that we had on the air on WVKO. And losing it was just one more incident of the narrowing the media field in Columbus. And it has gotten to a point now with the Dispatch Media Group buying up what was left of American Community Newspapers, which had formerly been CM Media / Suburban News Publications, as you know, was owned for many years by Max Brown, an independent publisher, the only truly independent publisher in the city. The Dispatch, already with a history of squeezing out opposition, squeezing out any competitors, as we all remember, squeezed out the Columbus Citizen Journal back in the day by acquiring the only independent publisher in the city. The Dispatch has created a monopoly on media, and the things that we're going to be doing with the Free Press, as you know, is to bring the city of Columbus and Central Ohio an alternative viewpoint, which is sorely needed in this day and age.
Well, Michael, what do you mean by alternative? I learned you've got a background in journalism. When you talk about bringing an alternative perspective, what's that mean?
It means that we are not going to be driven by corporate concerns, that we are not going to be told by a single family, as in the case of the Dispatch, what we can print and what we cannot print. We will decide, along with the board that has been created to oversee the Free Press, of which you are a member, and Suzanne Patzer, who is producing this program today, and we thank her for her efforts in that regard, is also a member of the board. Jonathan Beard is a member of the board, and we will decide what gets printed. And it will be based on its merit and its factuality. And that's what the citizens of Central Ohio deserve. They deserve to know the truth of the matter.
Now, say, for example, a story came along and four incredibly rich families needed $250 million in subsidies.
Are you talking about the arena?
Would you cover that different than the Dispatch?
Damn right we will. We will absolutely be covering that differently.
And you might be critical, say, if the city council spent 15 minutes and didn't allow anyone to talk about it in advance?
I guarantee you that we'll be covering those types of stories. And in fact, I can assure you that the first issue of the Free Press, the weekly version of the Free Press, will hit the newsstands on Thursday, September 5th. We'll have some stories about that and how the Columbus elite is trying to not just squeeze out alternative voices in print and other media, but squeezing out the voice of its very citizens. And that's what you're talking about there.
Yeah, politically shrinking that space and controlling what can be talked about. Are there going to be any surprises? You got any teasers for us in terms of writers? I assume you're going to cover more than politics.
We're going to be covering a lot more than politics. But before I get to that, you ask about surprises. There's one thing that just today came to my attention that is certainly going to be published. People know a little bit about the Columbus City Schools scandals.
Mm-hmm.
But we have some...
Well, they know that from reading the Dispatch and its publications.
Yes, what little they do know about it.
That's probably they know so little.
But they know very, very little about it. And we are going to be showing the public that there's not just a data scrubbing issue going on with the Columbus City Schools. There's also fraudulent practices. And it is coming from federal money, which makes some of the actions by the Columbus School Board actually criminal offenses. We're going to show the public checks that have been issued to entities that are nothing more than fronts for what we do not yet know, a front for what. But large sums of money coming from federal grants are going to fraudulent companies.
And that could impact how people see the levy.
Absolutely. We hope they will. If they see their money is going to fraud and lining people's pockets, people who may or may not be associated with those in power at City Hall, then they would be much more reluctant to give up more of their own money when they see how frivolously the school board is handing out this money that they have.
So it looks like you're going to be doing some hardcore investigative reporting, a little muck raking.
We're going to rake a lot of muck. And you asked me earlier about other things that we will have. We intend to make the free press something that people want to get. And I don't think I'm talking out of school, and I don't mind mentioning the fact that when the Dispatch bought out American Community Newspapers, as I said, formerly CM Media, SNP, one of the most popular publications of that group was The Other Paper. And people in Columbus, particularly among counterculture and underground type mm-hmm. people, I'm talking about Short North, Clintonville, campus area people, that was a must-get on Thursdays. We want to fill that void that was left when the Dispatch killed off The Other Paper. We want people to pick up the free press because there's things that they want to see in it. We're going to have, and for that reason, we'll have a crossword puzzle. We'll have some cartoons in there. We'll have...
What kind of cartoons? Like the Dispatch cartoons?
No. None of those things are we going to have. We're going to have the ones...
Will Beetle Bailey be there?
Beetle Bailey will not... He will be AWOL from the Free Press. Let's put it that way. We'll have Zippy the Pinhead. We'll have Bizarro. We'll have Red Meat. Those favorites of counterculture throughout the nation. Those are the kinds of things we will have. We'll probably also have a Sudoku for those people who like such things. But we want to have many different features. Here's a big announcement. We'll have John Petrick writing for us.
What?
John Petrick.
The bad boy of The Other Paper? I thought we were
you were
over
rid of
that
him?
Era.
You thought you were rid of him?
Who will rid me?
You were wrong.
Of this meddlesome reviewer.
Petrick is back, and here's a spoiler alert. He's seen the error of his ways. And if you believe that, well, I've got a bridge in Manhattan for you that's just ripe for purchasing. We're also going to be having, we'll have restaurant reviews, we'll have theater reviews, we'll have, here's a section that I think will become popular very quickly. We're going to have a geek nerd section, when where people talk about comic books and games and costume cosplay, what they call that sort of thing, that'll be something different. We hope that there's a certain segment of the public in Central Ohio, and as I understand it, quite a large segment of the public in Central Ohio is interested in such things. So we'll provide an outlet for those people who enjoy that sort of thing.
All right. But how's your coverage going to be different than, say, on theater or music than the Dispatches?
Once again, the Dispatch is very, very much controlled by monetary issues. They are mindful of their major contributors. In fact, their clients. They don't do anything to upset their clients. They want to make everything nice, and everything isn't always nice. We're going to, once again, no matter what we do, we want to approach it from truth. And that's the key thing. That's what's different. The Free Press is different from the Dispatch in that we're willing to tell people the truth. No matter what the subject is, it's going to be about the truth. As you always said in the Free Press in the past, speaking truth to power.
All right, and a lot of that truth, again, in the Free Press tradition has been fact-based. Now, this publication, though, is unlike the freepress.org and the Old Columbus Free Press, this is going to be a commercial enterprise. Will that be a challenge?
It will be a challenge. I think it is a challenge, and I don't think it's going to be a challenge that goes away. I think that we'll constantly be dealing with that, the need for advertisers. And so let me put this out now for anybody who's listening right now who happens to have some sort of a venture. They have a business, a company. Please, by all means, get a hold of us. You can reach either Bob, myself, Stephen, who is our sales representative. Those addresses are Bob at, Michael at, Stephen at ColumbusFreePress.com. Any of those, if you're interested in providing some kind of advertising revenue for the Free Press, if you want to get a reasonably priced print ad.
As in cheaper than the Columbus Alive?
Far cheaper than the Columbus Alive. So if you're listening and you already advertise in Columbus Alive, you might want to think about advertising in the Free Press. And the way to do that is, as I said, write to Stephen at ColumbusFreePress.com. Again, that's Stephen with a V, S-T-E-V-E-N, at ColumbusFreePress.com. Or you can email me, Michael, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, at ColumbusFreePress.com.
Now, your background, I've known you primarily from radio, but I learned that you have an extensive background in newsprint.
Yeah, I wrote for more than a decade for CM Media, Suburban News Publications. I wrote maybe 12 articles, 15 articles a week for various. We had 22 suburban publications: Dublin News, Grove City News, Upper Arlington News, the Whitehall News, Reynoldsburg News. We had 22 weekly papers, and I would write up to 20 stories a week for those varied publications. So I have been doing, you know, my degree, my undergraduate degree is in journalism. I've been doing it a long time, far longer than I care to admit. I mean, I was a broadcast journalist prior to that, but in some way or other have been writing for, 40 years. I hate admitting it. So,
since we're both involved in this venture, do you think there's still a market for newspapers?
Absolutely, I do. I realize that there is a new way of thinking among youth in society these days with electronics. But yes, there is still, and I'll explain in a moment.
This is Bob Fitrakis bringing you the other side of the news, 98.3, 102.1, WCRS Community Radio.
So, Michael, as I was saying, today, people today, I was having a conversation about this just the other day, and a person between 15 and 25 years old today are just joined at the hand to their mobile devices, be it their telephone or their pads or whatever, and it seems like they can't function without constantly having that. But those of us who are a little bit older, I myself, at one time in my life, I read no fewer than 3 newspapers a day, different newspapers a day.
And I still read 2 every day, The Enemy, The Opposition, and The New York Times.
Right. So people like us, it's essential, and we see, and back in the day when we still had the other paper, I made a habit of getting a copy of the other paper. I wanted to see what was in there. And at the time when I was still involved in, I'm far too old for it now, but nightlife and, going out to see music and doing stuff like that, having the other paper in my hand was absolutely essential. You wanted to see who was playing where, see if you went to one of your favorite bars, who might be playing. It was essential. And I think that we will be able to fill that void quite nicely, and I think there's still a lot of people who rely on an actual hard copy. I know myself, I'm a crossword puzzle doer, and there's a lot of us in Central Ohio who like those. And those are the kind of people who will never let go of their newspaper. There's not the same enjoyment in doing a crossword online as there is doing it with an hardcore crossword puzzle. People always use pen, and it's because they don't like the feeling of pencil on newsprint. So anybody who's a serious...
And also, you can't erase it.
You can't erase it.
Pen is permanent.
Yes. And so any serious crossword person wants actual newsprint in front of them, and they'll have that with the free press.
Are you going to cover sports? Weren't you a sports writer?
I was. We are going to be covering sports, but not quite the way people are used to. We're interested in people. I'm a big believer that people make the story. And hell, if you think about the stories we're doing about the school issues, it's still going to ultimately be about people, about the ones who are perpetrating this nonsense on the people of Columbus. But people will be the real churner as far as sports. I want to know about curling or even t-ball. So it'll be something different all the time. It won't be your regular, the Reds beat the Cubs.
All right, and you've got a launch party coming up?
We do, on the 4th of September at Little Rock. I'm sorry. 44 North 4th Street in Columbus is the address for Little Rock, and that is Wednesday, the 4th of September, from 6 to 9 p.m. We're going to have food and entertainment. We'll have some free beer for as long as it lasts. And we're hoping everybody comes out, and it'll be your chance to meet the people involved with the free press. We'll give people the chance to give us story ideas. There's people all over the place who have ideas about stories that need doing. And 944 North 4th Street. Thank you, Suzanne, for checking that and double checking to make sure. Didn't want anybody to show up at 44 when they should be at 944 North 4th Street. And once again, that's Little Rock Cafe, is it?
Bar.
Little Rock Bar. Okay. So don't go to Arkansas. Just go to 944 North 4th Street. It is in the Italian Village? Okay. Italian Village.
Okay. Well, I'll be there. So you want input from the community.
Absolutely.
So they'll get a chance 6 to 9 on September 4th. Do you envision this muckraking paper is one that people could leak you information about unsavory events?
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, I mean, one of our, as you well know, one of the lead stories, pardon me, one of our lead stories is about the goings-on at Columbus City Schools, and that began as an item that was leaked to you, so you're well aware of that, and we're hoping that those kind of leaks, you and I were going over the budget that was posted on the school board's website, and it was 238 pages, and and nomenclatures for outlays and intakes are rather vague, and you mentioned at the time that there's where a whistleblower comes in handy because they can direct you to the entries that might be fudgy. And so absolutely we'll rely on leaked information. Any whistle you want to blow is fine with us, and more than happy to keep people anonymous. As we all know, once these people like that become known, it almost always leads to trouble. If we think about Snowden and some of the other internationally known leakers have, come to no good once their name has hit the public. I mean, isn't Julian Assange still holed up in an embassy? In the Ecuadorian embassy?
In England, yes.
Yeah. So we will certainly keep people anonymous because we wouldn't want anything odd to befall them should they help the public understand what the hell is going on with government money.
I'm talking with Michael Allwood, the managing editor of the new weekly Free Press, an alternative weekly, progressive alternative weekly, being launched on September 4th. Again, the launch party, 944 North 4th Street from 6 to 9.
By the way, I did not mention another contributor who may be familiar to your listeners, and that's Harvey Wasserman, who will be a regular contributor writing about what Harvey writes about best, and that, of course, is green issues of all stripe. As you know, Bob, Harvey's one of the best known in the country voices against nuclear power. He has a website called Solartopia. He is a great proponent of green energy, and he will be writing on that on a regular basis, so we are very happy to have him as a part of the Free Press family, somebody that you have worked with for many, many years, and I'm sure you, too, are happy that we have Harvey on board.
Yes, I like to call him my unindicted co-conspirator. We've won a few awards together. So Harvey Wasserman, that's a huge plus. What will the paper look like? Will it look like pretty much standard alternative?
It's going to be a tabloid, and it's going to be more of a tabloid than, say, if you look at the Columbus Alive, it looks kind of like a pamphlet. It's square. We're not going to be square. You'll notice the difference, but we're going to be a tabloid format.
Are there any particular style that the paper will have?
Or actually, styles? I think the public is going to enjoy the style. Our design and layout person, Ron Horsley, has come up with a pretty sleek look to our paper. It's kind of iconic, but it's very clean and pleasing to the eye. I think they'll like it a lot.
And what day will the paper come out on?
It'll be a Thursday publication, just like the other paper was, like Alive is. And it makes perfect sense, because if you're planning your weekend, you know, you pick up a paper on Thursday, you can say, what am I going to do on Friday night? What am I going to do Saturday night? What might I do Sunday? And even into the next week. But it makes perfect sense that we saw no reason to deviate from the norm. I mean, people of Columbus have been running on that schedule as far as picking up an alternative newspaper for 20 years. We saw no reason to change that, buck the system, and confuse the newspaper reading public. So Thursday it is for us.
I'm talking with Michael Allwood, the new managing editor of the Free Press, which you heard him will be coming out weekly on Thursday and the launch party September 4th. Do you have a certain philosophical approach to newsprint in this endeavor? How do you see it in the big picture? Why now? I mean, why would you be coming out with a newspaper? Haven't they all failed except the Dispatch?
That's not true. In fact, one of the earliest meetings we had with the board, somebody mentioned, and I know who it is, but I'm hesitating to give the name because of his affiliation, had made a statement that the other paper had failed. The other paper did not fail. The other paper was killed by the Dispatch.
And it wasn't a mercy killing either.
It was not a mercy killing. The other paper was a thriving enterprise, but it was killed. It didn't die. No, there is a viable place in the market for an alternative weekly, and we will fill that. Once again, I'll go back to what we said in the beginning, and that is the public is getting from the Dispatch Media Group what the Dispatch, and thereby the Wolf family, wants the Columbus citizenry to see. That's what they want you to think.
Are you saying John Kasich's not the greatest governor in the history of Earth and should well be president in 2016?
Wow. We don't have another half hour to spend on that.
And I suppose you're the type of paper, he sold $400 million in junk bonds into the teacher's fund and should be held accountable for it. Is that the type of journalism you're going to do?
Precisely. Precisely. And there's, I think, too, and I go back to what I said early on, that in this first issue, we're going to be showing the public evidence that funds have been squandered by the Columbus City School System. Squandered. Federal money. Crimes have been committed within the Board of Education and Columbus City Schools. We're going to show that to the public with cold, hard facts and evidence. That's the kind of journalism we're going to be doing.
And when you look at that school board, does your paper have any perspective on shouldn't the mayor just come in and take it over?
And take it over? Yeah, we have some perspective on that. We also have some perspective on things like how the City Council of Columbus gets put in place instead of being elected. We haven't had an elected member of the City Council take a seat since that elected from the populace as opposed to being appointed by the council since 91, I think it is.
Yeah, well, there might have been one in 95, but I think that was actually a Republican.
Yeah.
Who won. But yeah, the Dems haven't been there forever. Everyone gets appointed. And what's your problem with that? We only got 30 seconds here, so.
What's my problem with that? It just keeps those seats in the hands of the people who are already in power.
That's Michael Allwood, the new managing editor of the Free Press. This is Bob Fitrakis bringing you the other side of the news. Thanks, Michael.